Chapter 43. Some Tea.
"And these Ashaman claim they are free of the taint?" Galad asked, as he and Perrin Ebarra picked their way through the aftermath of the battle.
"They do," Perrin said. "And I've a mind to trust them. Why would they lie?"
Galad raised an eyebrow.
"Insanity?"
Perrin nodded at that. This Perrin Ebarra was an interesting man. Others often responded with anger when Galad said what he thought, but he was coming to realize that he didn't need to hold himself back with Perrin. This man responded well to honesty. If he was a dark friend or shadow spawn, he was a very odd sort. The horizon was starting to grow brighter. Light at night already passed. Bodies littered the ground, most of them Trollocs. The stench was of burned flesh and fur, nauseating as it mixed with that of blood and mud. Galad felt exhausted. He'd allowed an Aes Sedai to heal him.
"Once you've committed your reserves, there's no use holding back your scouts," Garth Bryn was fond of saying.
If he was going to let Aes Sedai save his men, then he might as well accept their healing. Once accepting Aes Sedai healing hadn't bothered him nearly so much.
"Perhaps," Perrin said. "Perhaps the Ashaman are mad, and the taint isn't cleansed. But they've served me well, and I figure they've earned the right to be trusted until they show me otherwise. You and your men might well owe your lives to Grady and Niald."
"And you have my thanks," Galad said, stepping over the hulking body of a Trolloc with a bear's snout.
"Though few of my men will express that emotion. They aren't certain what to think of your intervention here, Ebarra."
"Still think I set them up somehow?"
"Perhaps," Galad said.
"Either you are a dark friend of unsurpassed cunning, or you really did as you said, coming to save my men despite your treatment at our hands. In that case, you are a man of honor. Letting us die would have made your life much easier, I believe."
"No," Perrin said. "Every sword is needed at the last battle, Galad. Every one."
Galad grunted, kneeling beside a soldier with a red cloak and turning him over. It wasn't a red cloak. It was a white one soaked in blood. Renan Sina would not see the last battle. Galad closed the young man's eyes, breathing a prayer to the light in his name.
"So what now for you and yours?" Perrin asked.
"We continue on," Galad said, rising. "North to my estates in Andor to prepare."
"You could."
Perrin froze. Then he turned, trotting across the battlefield. Galad hurried after him. Perrin reached a heap of Trollocs, then began pushing bodies aside. Galad heard a very faint sound. Moaning. He helped move a dead hawk-headed beast, its two human eyes staring lifelessly. Beneath it, a young man looked up, blinking. It was Jerem Nuss, one of the children.
"Oh, light," the young man croaked. "It hurts. I thought I was dead. Dead."
His side was cut open. Perrin knelt hastily, lifting the boy's head, giving him a drink of water as Galad took a bandage from the bag he carried and used it to wrap the wound. That cut was bad. The unfortunate youth would die for certain. He...
"No," Galad realized. "We have Aes Sedai."
It was hard to get used to thinking that way. Jerem was crying with joy, holding to Perrin's arm. The boy looked delusional. He didn't seem to care one bit about those golden eyes.
"Drink, son,"
Perrin said, voice soothing. Kindly.
"It's all right. We found you. You're going to be fine."
"It seemed like I yelled for hours," the youth said. "But I was so weak, and they were on top of me. How did you find me?"
"I have good ears," Perrin said.
He nodded to Galad, and together they lifted the youth, Perrin beneath the arms, Galad taking the legs. They carefully carried him across the battlefield. The youth continued mumbling, consciousness slipping. At the side of the battlefield, the Aes Sedai and Aiel Wise Ones were healing the wounded. As Galad and Perrin arrived, a light-haired Wise One, a woman who looked not a day older than Galad but spoke with the authority of an aged matron, hustled over. She began chastising them for moving the lad as she reached out to touch his head.
"Do you give permission, Galad Damodred?" she asked. "This one is too far gone to speak for himself."
Galad had insisted that each child be given the choice to refuse healing, regardless of the nature of their wound. The Aes Sedai and Wise Ones hadn't liked it, but Perrin had repeated the order. They seemed to listen to him.
Odd.
Galad had rarely met Aes Sedai who would listen to the orders or even opinions of a man.
"Yes," Galad said. "Heal him."
The Wise One turned to her work. Most children had refused healing, though some had changed their minds once Galad himself accepted it. The youth's breathing steadied, his wound closing. The Wise One didn't heal him completely, only far enough that he'd survive the day. When she opened her eyes, she looked haggard, even more tired than Galad felt. The channelers had fought all night, followed by performing healings. Galad and Perrin moved back onto the field. They weren't the only ones searching for wounded, of course. Perrin himself could have gone back to the camp to rest, but he hadn't.
"I can offer you another option," Perrin said as they walked. "As opposed to staying here in Gildan, weeks from your destination. I could have you in Andor tonight. My men would not trust this traveling." "They'd go if you ordered them," Perrin said. "You've said that you'll fight alongside Aes Sedai. Well, I don't see anything different between that and this. Come with me."
"You'd let us join you, then?"
Perrin nodded.
"I'd need an oath from you, though."
"What manner of oath?"
"I'll be frank with you, Galad. I don't think we have much time left. A few weeks, maybe. Well, I fancy we'll need you, but Rand won't like the idea of white cloaks in the battle lines unsupervised. So I want you to swear you'll accept me as your commander until the battle is through."
Galad hesitated. Dawn was close now. In fact, it might have arrived behind those clouds.
"Do you realize what an audacious suggestion you make? The Lord Captain Commander of the Children of the Light obeying the orders of any man would be remarkable. But to you, a man I just recently saw judged a killer? A man most of the children are convinced is a dark friend?"
Perrin turned to him.
"You come with me now and I'll get you to the last battle. Without me, who knows what will happen?"
"You said every sword was needed," Galad replied. "You'd leave us?"
"Yes. If I don't have that oath, I will. Rand may come back for you himself, though. In me, you know what you're getting. I'll be fair to you. All I'll ask is that your men stay in line, then fight where they're told when the battle comes. Rand, well, you can say no to me. You'll find it much harder to say it to him. And I doubt you'll like the result half as much either, once you end up saying yes."
Galad frowned. "You're an oddly compelling man, Perrin Ebarra."
"We have a bargain?"
Perrin held out a hand. Galad took it.
It wasn't the threat that did it. It was remembering Perrin's voice when he'd found Jerem wounded. That compassion. No dark friend could feign that.
"You have my oath," Galad said, "to accept you as my military commander until the end of the last battle."
He suddenly felt weaker than he had before, and he released a breath, then sat on a nearby rock.
"And you have my oath," Perrin said. "I'll see your men cared for like the others. Sit here and rest a spell. I'll search that patch over there. The weakness will pass soon."
"Weakness?" Perrin nodded.
"I know what it's like to be caught up in the needs of a Ta'veren. Light, but I do."
He eyed Galad.
"You ever wonder why we ended up here in this same place?"
My men and I assumed it was because the light had placed you before us, Galad said. So we could punish you.
Perrin shook his head. That's not it at all. Truth is, Galad, I apparently needed you. And that's why you ended up here.
With that, he headed off.
Aleandra carefully folded the bandage, then passed it to a waiting Guy Shine. His fingers were thick and calloused, his face hidden beneath the hood of his robe. She thought it might be Niagan, the brotherless that Lucille had been taking after. That still irked Fael, but Aleandra couldn't fathom why. An Aiel man would probably match Lucille well. Aleandra began rolling another bandage. She sat with other women in a small clearing near the battlefield, surrounded by scraggly scatterhead and stands of leather leaf. The cool air was quiet, save for the nearby groans of the wounded. She cut another length of cloth in the morning light. The cloth had been a shirt. Now it was bandages. Not a great loss. It hadn't been a very good shirt by the looks of it. The battle is through, Berylaine said softly. She and Fael worked nearby, sitting on stools across from one another as they cut. Yes, it appears that it is, Fael replied. Both fell silent. Aleandra raised an eyebrow but did not say anything. Something was going on between those two. Why suddenly start pretending they were the greatest of friends? The act seemed to fool many of the men in camp, but Aleandra could see the truth in the way their lips tightened when they saw one another. It had lessened after Fael had saved Berylaine's life, but not vanished entirely. You were right about him, Berylaine said. You sound surprised. I'm not often wrong when it comes to men. My husband is not like other men. Fael cut off. She looked toward Aleandra, eyes narrowing. Bloody ashes, Aleandra thought. She'd sat too far away, which made her strain, turning to eavesdrop. That was suspicious. The two of them fell silent again, and Aleandra held up a hand as if inspecting her nails. Yes, she thought. Ignore me. I don't matter. I'm just a woman in over her head and struggling to keep up. Fael and Berylaine didn't think that, of course, any more than the Two Rivers men had ever thought Perrin had been unfaithful. If you sat them down and asked them, really made them think about it, they'd come to the conclusion that something else must have happened. But things like superstition and bias ran deeper than mere thoughts. What the other two thought about Aleandra and what they instinctively felt were different. Besides, Aleandra really was a woman who was in over her head and struggling to keep up. Best to know what your strengths were. Aleandra turned back to cutting bandages. Fael and Berylaine had insisted on staying to help. Aleandra couldn't go, not with the two of them acting so bloody fascinating lately. Besides, she didn't mind the work. Compared to their captivity by the Aiel, this was really quite pleasant. Unfortunately, the two didn't go back to their conversation. In fact, Berylaine rose, looking frustrated, and walked toward the other side of the clearing. Aleandra could practically feel the frost coming off the woman. Berylaine stopped over where others were rolling the strips of cloth. Aleandra stood up, carrying her stool, scissors, and cloths over to Fael. I don't believe I've ever seen her this unsettled, Aleandra said. She's not fond of being wrong, Fael noted. She took a deep breath, then shook her head. She sees the world as a network of half-truths and inferences, ascribing complex motivations to the simplest of men. I suspect it makes her very good at court politics, but I wouldn't want to live that way. She's very wise, Aleandra says. She does see things, Fael. She understands the world. She merely has a few blind spots, like most of us. Fael nodded absently. The thing I pity most is the fact that despite all of this, I don't believe she was ever in love with Perrin. She chased him for sport, for political advantage, and for Mayenne. In the end, it was more the challenge than anything else. She may be fond of him, but nothing more. I could perhaps understand her, if it had been for love. Alejandra kept her tongue after that, cutting bandages. She ran across a fine blue silk shirt in the pile. Surely there could be something better done with that. She stuffed it between two others and set those beside her, as if in a pile she intended to cut. Perrin eventually tramped into the clearing, followed by some workers in bloodied clothing. He made instantly for Fail, sitting down on Berylaine's stool, setting his marvelous hammer down in the weeds beside him. He looked exhausted. Fail got him something to drink and then rubbed his shoulder. Alejandra excused herself, leaving Perrin and his wife. She made her way over to where Berylaine stood at the edge of the clearing, sipping a cup of tea taken from the pot on the fire. Berylaine eyed her. Alejandra poured herself a cup of tea, then blew on it for a moment. "They are good for one another, Berylaine," she said. "I cannot say I'm sorry to see this result." "Every relationship deserves to be challenged," Berylaine replied. "And if she had fallen in Malden, an outcome all too possible, he would have needed someone. It is not a great loss to me, however, to take my eyes off Perrin Ebarra. I would have liked to make a connection to the Dragon Reborn through him, but there will be other opportunities." She seemed far less frustrated now than she had moments ago. In fact, she seemed to have returned to her calculating self. Alejandra smiled. Clever woman. Fail needed to see her rival completely beaten down so that she would consider the threat past. This was why Berylaine let some of her frustration show, more than she normally would have. Alejandra sipped her tea. "Marriage seems nothing to you other than a calculation, then? The advantages gained? There's also the joy of the hunt, the thrill of the game. And what of love?" "Love is for those who do not rule," Berylaine said. "A woman is worth far more than her ability to make a match. But I must care for Mayenne. If we enter the last battle without my having secured a husband, that puts the succession in danger. And when Mayenne has a succession crisis, Tyr is all too quick to assert itself. Romance is an unaffordable distraction. She trailed off suddenly, her expression changing. What was going on? Alejandra turned to the side, frowning until she saw the cause. Galad Damodred had entered the clearing. He had blood on his white uniform and he looked exhausted, yet he stood upright, straight-backed, and his face was clean. He almost seemed too beautiful to be human, with that perfectly masculine face and graceful, lean figure. And those eyes, like deep, dark pools. He practically seemed to glow. What was I saying? Berylaine asked, eyes on Damodred. That there is no place for romance in a leader's life? Yes, Berylaine said, sounding distracted. It's just not reasonable at all. Not at all. Berylaine began, but Damodred turned toward them. She cut off as their eyes met. Alejandra suppressed a smile as Damodred crossed the clearing. He executed another set of perfect bows, one for each of them, though he barely seemed to notice Alejandra.
"My lady first," he said. "Lord Ebarra says that when he first approached this battle, you pled to him on my behalf."
"Foolishly," Berylaine said. "I feared he would attack you."
"If fearing that makes one a fool," Damodred said, "then we two are fools together in it. I was certain that my men would soon fall to Ebarra."
She smiled at him. That quickly she seemed to have forgotten everything she'd been saying previously.
"Would you like some tea?"
Damodred said, speaking a little abruptly as he reached for the teacups, which sat on a cloth away from the fire. "I'm drinking some," she noted.
Some more, then?
He asked, hastily kneeling and pouring a cup. He stood up, holding the cup, then seeing that she already had one in her hands.
There are still bandages to cut,
Verilaine said.
Perhaps you could help.
Perhaps, he said.
He handed the cup he'd poured over to Alejandra. Verilaine, her eyes still holding his, handed hers over as well, seeming oblivious to what she was doing. Alejandra smiled deeply, now holding three teacups, as the two of them walked over to the stack of cloths to be cut. This might turn out well indeed. At the very least, it would get those blasted white cloaks out of her kingdom. She walked back toward Fail and Perrin. As she did so, she slipped the blue silk shirt from the pile of cloth she'd set aside to cut. It really would make a nice sash.